Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and thanks for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio today. My show today is about going green. It's tips on how to green your business. And we're going to be welcoming a special guest today, Rajiv Kapoor from GreenWalla.com will be joining us shortly to talk about this and join in the discussion. Today, consumers are becoming more and more environmentally conscious, and it's just one of those things that people expect to see, they're aware of it, and they're looking for their businesses to where they spend their money, for people to do the same thing that they're doing. And so we're going to talk about that today on the show because it is a topic that, you know, it's not just a fad. It's something that is out there. It's a movement, and people are more socially conscious and environmentally conscious, and that's why this is such a hot topic today, and we're going to talk about it with Rajiv. I do want to spend a couple minutes just chatting about this topic because there are some amazing stats out there if you just read around on the internet. Here's a couple interesting ones that surprised me. 36. That's the number of states. That's 36 out of 50. The number of U.S. states that are anticipating some kind of water shortage in their community by the year 2013. That's an amazing number of states in this country. You could think about some other interesting stats. There are 3 trillion gallons of water, along with $18 billion, it's the equivalent of that 3 trillion gallons, that the United States would save every year if every household invested in some kind of water-saving appliance to reduce the amount of water, and that could be in your sink, in your shower, anywhere in the house, the yard. Low water usage appliances and devices would save $18 billion every year, and three trillion gallons of water. So there is a lot of things out there. If you think about the relationship between 36 states expect that by 2013 there's going to be a water shortage in their community, and yet there's this very simple step. There are some simple steps that people can take to reduce that. There's a little relationship there, wouldn't you think, between water usage and the shortage? Amazing number of statistics out there. And so it goes on and on and on. And I think what people sometimes don't realize is that it is it's a lot easier to do than you might immediately expect, and I think some people believe that it's very complicated, that it's difficult to make a difference, or what can I do myself? And so there's of course lots been written about what you can do as an individual to reduce your impact on the planet, on the environment. And there's a lot been said about that. But today's show is really about greening your business. And I just want to kind of set up the conversation today before Rajiv joins us in that there are a couple topics out there that businesses could focus on. So you've got green power and renewable energy is one, and just the kind of energy that your business consumes. Air pollution, what is the output of what your facility has in what it does. And by the way, this is not just in reference to factories. I mean, there's air pollution that comes out of offices and things like that. So there's a second thing. The third is building design. If you're building an office, if you have some kind of construction going on or you're putting an addition on, thinking about the design of the building and how it can be more energy efficient. The next one is paper. The amount of paper that most businesses use is staggering, and there's a culture of printing everything and so forth, and you can really make a huge reduction on that just by looking at how you use paper and what you, the culture you have in the organization and how you use things and what you print and what you choose not to print. Of course, recycling is another one, and that is pretty straightforward. Nice thing about that is people are doing it at home, so you doing it at your business is not a foreign concept. Water consumption is another one. We talked about water at the opening of the show here, that you really can take a good hard look at how water is used in your business, even in just restrooms and things, and that can also have a benefit. And then finally, don't forget that there's, if you're a small business, there are a lot of small businesses all facing the same question. And so you're not alone in that, and you can get all kinds of really great information. I would recommend, you know, to start that thinking, go to, there's a lot of great websites out there, but energystar.gov is a great place to go if you want to look into this a little bit. All right, I think this would be a great time for us to welcome our guest today. I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Rajiv Kapoor to the show. And Rajiv, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Rick. Good morning. How are you?
Great. Good to have you on the show today. I appreciate you.
Thanks calling. For having me. It's a pleasure.
I wanted to just give folks some background about you, that you have quite a history and quite a track record. Rajiv is the chief Walla at greenwalla.com. It's a green social network, and it has a lot of good things to offer. But aside from that, or in addition to that, you have a great background, having worked all over the world, really. You were with Dell for 12 years, internationally, I guess domestically as well. And you have just this track record of results that impresses me. And you can find out more about Rajiv at rajivkapoor.com. There's a pretty nice set of information, introductions to you. You do offer consulting as well as all the other things in your background. So I'm impressed by your background, Rajiv, and I know you personally, and it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Well, thanks again, Rick.
Yeah, for everyone listening today, you can learn more about this, about what Rajiv does at greenwalla.com. There's a lot of great content on that site. But I really wanted to spend some time today with you, Rajiv, because I think that people don't necessarily think about their business. People do spend a lot of time these days recycling at home and things like that, but I'm not sure people really realize that their business can have a huge impact. So that's kind of what the purpose of this show today is. So I appreciate you being here. But let's just start off with Greenwalla, because you founded that with a purpose. And I don't know if our listeners all are aware of Greenwalla. So why don't you just tell us briefly about Greenwalla and why you founded it?
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. You know, so I think as you mentioned in your opening there, in the introduction, which was very, very, very nice, so I thank you for that. You know, Greenwalla is kind of a brainchild that kind of came from me after having spent some time for Dell over in Asia. I was there back in early part of 2000, right before China was starting to see its massive growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of saw that happening. I saw what was going on from an energy perspective. There were days when we'd be in Hong Kong or Shanghai or Beijing, we couldn't even go outside because the air and the pollution were just so staggering bad. I mean, we always thought that Los Angeles was kind of tough and places like that were bad, but this was, imagine that times 10, and that was always pretty scary to me. And we had an opportunity after my China stint was finished. We had a chance to move down to Singapore, and I got a chance to launch Dell India, and, you know, with a country of 1.1 billion people who's just now going through its industrial revolution today as we speak. You can imagine the amount of resources being taken, and that also was pretty staggering. And, you know, you'd be driving from a really nice part of India, and within 5 minutes you're in a slum, and you have people living in the slum, and the recycling in India is done by kids, done by people, and it's just heartbreaking. And it's got a lot to offer, but there's also a downside, you know, to places in China and India. And I just saw that, and I'm like, wow, this is just crazy. It's nuts. And so I started formulating this idea of just wanting to live my life a little bit greener, you know, be a little greener in my life. And, you know, kind of came up with myself with four core principles and what that basically meant to me. And what it meant to me basically was, all right, number one is that if I keep fighting the global warming discussion, it's going to become a right versus left issue and nothing will ever get done. So instead of my mind, I immediately said, you know what, well, things are going to happen and it's kind of hard to stop China and India. And who are we to tell them they can't have their growth, that we can't have, that they can't have the riches that they're that they richly so deserve. So instead, how do we minimize the impact of climate change? Well, what are steps that we can do and lead in this effort? And in some respects, I think we in the U.S. are doing a good job. In some respects, we're not. I think people in Europe and Japan are doing a much, much better job, but we can talk about that later. So climate change was, in my mind, the first thing I did. And then I said, okay, well, foreign oil dependency is a big issue, trying to look at more alternative energy resources. Living a healthier lifestyle. Rick, I'm sure you know, you've read and you know that not only has it happened to animals and pets, but also in humans, you've got this challenge of obesity. You've got this challenge of diabetes. You've got, you know, what was the stat I heard the other day that By 2050, one in three Americans is going to have be diabetic. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, so living a healthier lifestyle. And then at the end of the day, being socially responsible. So I said, well, you know, how can I take those four concepts and what can I do with it? Well, I didn't do anything right away. I actually left Dell and became president of a dot-com business here in Orange County and ran that business for a while. The thing about that business that was interesting was, you know, we built it into one of the best places to work in Orange County, and that was one of the pillars of one of my thought processes. But in the process, we discovered there was an opportunity for smart products, things like, you know, home automation, was you know, ways to control your lighting, you know, ways to have solar products, you know, ways to look at, you know, water systems, et cetera, that a lot of people didn't think about. So I'm like, huh, well, you've got this concept of trying to build a community that's just now starting to happen, right? At the time, it was pretty much, you know, kind of blogging was just kind of there, and there was no Facebook yet, there was no Twitter. The only thing you really had was MySpace. And I kept thinking to myself, well, wouldn't it be great if you could build an organization where not only can people come and talk and discuss about all things related to how to be green and what to do to be green, but you do it in an open forum, an open format, where nobody's going to get judged. Because one of the challenges is that, you know, as you know, is the people who are really hardcore about this, you know, they really, really don't like the people, you know, who want to go off the grid, you know, really have a hard time with those that are not backing what they're doing.
Well, you made a great point earlier about that same topic. It's so easy to politicize this. And at the end of the day, whether you know, any side, either side could bring up some statistic that could contradict someone else's or undermine someone's argument or point of view. But at the end of the day, if you really just look at how we can keep our planet healthy and reduce the amount that we're consuming, there's a benefit to that. So you don't have to even subscribe to someone's absolute opinion on this. It's hard to debate the fact that things like saving water is a bad thing. So if you find other like-minded people, you can all say, all right, we don't have to agree politically, but we can certainly agree that it's great to reduce the amount of water we consume or whatnot. There's other ways to look at it.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so I said, you know what, if people want to – we all breathe the same air. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat or independent or whatever you are, we all breathe the same air. So wouldn't it be nice if the air was clean, right? So I kind of formed Greenwalla, and, you know, in my mind, it was one of those things where could you build something where people – it doesn't matter if you're hardcore right, hardcore left, just come together, talk about these different things, because we always thought that green at the end of the day really meant good. It's probably just a way to do some common good and build a place where it's more of a vertically focused community, and then you take that business model of a social network and a social community aspect and you merge it with more of a content-type business or a content-type business model. So we have five editors now on staff. We have about 35,000 pages of content now. I think outside of YouTube, we're probably number one. If we're not number one, we've got to be number in the top three in terms of green videos in one location with over 2,500 green videos. You know, so we've done a lot from that perspective. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, well, if you can do community, you can do content. You know, we're now thinking about, well, can we bring in the third C into the equation, which is commerce? You know, are we able to then bring in products that really make a lot of sense and let people who have green products sell them directly on Greenwalla? And I'm pleased to say that we're probably going to start doing that sometime early part of next year. So we're pretty excited by that. So this idea was churning in my head of community content commerce and how we can do this for the green space. And so we launched the business, and we launched the business about a month before the economy collapsed. So we had a couple of choices. We could either give the money back from the money that we raised, or we said, let's try and let's go for it. And so we said, let's go for it. And we've had our ups, we've had our downs, and, you know, we're still around, and, you know, we're trying to do better every day, and we're trying to grow and trying to build more great partnerships like the ones we have with Petco and Natural Balance and others. And so, you know, we're trying to keep moving forward. And so really, at the end of the day, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, and I apologize, it's just I wanted to find a way, find a business where I'm not just – I didn't want to be a computer guy the rest of my life. I wanted to find a way to make a difference, and I want to be part of the solution and not a problem.
I think there's lots of people like who can identify and relate to what you're saying, and you took action. I think that's, you know, really one of the neat things is that so many people don't have that opportunity to do that. Has anything surprised you since you started Greenwalla? I mean, anything out there that, you know, you didn't expect to happen actually happen?
You know, the economy going south on us was actually pretty surprising. You know, there's always some rumbling. So I think, you know, that was a big thing. We had a lot of plans that were kind of put on the back burner. But I think the biggest thing, you know, that surprised us was that, you know, we were really concerned, because the platform was designed to be so open, we were really concerned that there would be a lot more sniping coming from people on the extremes. And that didn't happen at all. And that did not happen at all. And we were fully expecting it. We were fully expecting a fight. And we were ready to go fight. And that did not happen at all. So that was pretty surprising in that. So I guess that shows how the mood has changed a little bit. But I think the other thing that surprised me is that over the last 2 years, you know, people have looked at green as this big, huge premium. And I think in some respects in the past that was a big premium. But businesses have, and I know this, today's topic is about greening your business, but business, I think, have done an injustice to the consumer, because the idea of going green is reducing, reusing, and recycling, right?
Yeah.
And so when you do those types of things, you're reducing costs in your product. You're trying to take waste and you're trying to take excess out of your solution. Well, what was happening was businesses were taking that waste out, but then they were taking that and they were taking the extra margin by not only reducing the cost, but then charging a premium for the exact same product, literally the exact same product. So that to me was just complete nonsense. And I shouldn't say I was much surprised, but I just didn't, you know, with all the movement for green that happened about 2.5-3 years ago, in all the green magazines you saw, right, everybody had green issue of something, right, that you would think that then would, you know, by then it would be a great momentum builder. And I think with the economy going south, people have actually stepped back from it because they think going green is just so much more expensive. And at the end of the day, it's really not. It's actually less expensive to be greener if you do the right things, which really surprised me. And believe it or not, I think the one organization that's actually kind of stood up to the product makers and has said, no, this is wrong, has been Walmart. And so as much as, you know, people may not like Walmart, from this angle, they've actually done some good things.
Well, there's no question that Walmart has been a leader or is a leader in really green social responsibility and taking actions. And they, I mean, aside from their sheer size, you know, they can just do one little thing and it has a huge effect. And in this case, it's been very positive. Secondly, they have been a model for other businesses out there who kind of say, well, shucks, if they can do it, why couldn't we? And, you know, I think just the net impact is that because, again, their size is so huge, their reach, consumers, it was very visible. So in my mind, those three things are what made Walmart's actions so substantial and really validate so many of these basic elements and beliefs about green business. So it makes a lot of sense to me. I think that a lot of people out there agree there's a need to be more green and there's a benefit. It seems like I still hear people don't know how or where to start. I mean, do you think that's still a case out there, or is that starting to change?
You know, it's in many cases, it's still a big issue. And it's one of those things where in a down economy, when you think about it, just one of those things that's added onto somebody's plate. And it's like, you know, somebody saying, well, I don't even know where to begin. And so what most people do is they'll go search Google, they'll go do something, they can go to GreenWalla, they can go wherever they want to go. But at the end of the day, some will kind of latch onto this LEED idea of being, you know, LEED certified, which is leadership, energy, environmental design, kind of being the LEED certified. And if you want to go down the LEED path, which is a great organization and a great certification to get for your office, for your building, whatever you want to do, it can be very expensive. And that right away can turn people off. But I think what people forget about is the basic, the crawl, walk, run approach to everything. And, you know, I do this on a daily basis. I talk to businesses every day, and that's part of the consulting business is, you know, we come in and we talk to people, and, you know, we don't charge a lot of money for this. We just come in and we talk to people and we say, what do you want to do? It's as simple as just, you know, standing, you know, first way you start is you just stand and look outside the building. You stand outside the building and you start looking around. And right away, if they just had somebody kind of like they have a little shepherd with them, to slowly guide them a little bit, within 10 minutes, every company I've talked to, within 10 minutes, the light bulb turns on. And they start getting it, and they see the little changes that they make, and they realize that if they can make 50 little changes, it's going to have an impact, not just on themselves, but on their business, on their employees, on their customers, on their suppliers. And the Walmart example is, you know, I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of your listeners are going to think, okay, forget it, this guy's talking about Walmart, we don't like him anymore. But at the end of the day, Walmart has made a significant impact to people's supply chain, to the people that are producing their supply chain. Now, Walmart has said, okay, look, we're going to make some money off that too, but, you know, I don't want this to become all about Walmart, but the point of it is that they made significant impact. They made significant change in supply chain. And business owners, business managers can do that as well, and they can do it in little as 5 or 10 minutes, and it doesn't take that long to do it. It's not that hard to do it, and I'm happy to talk about it today.
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a great point there. What kind of resources are there for the crawl, walk, run approach to things? I mean, is it easy to find these green tips for businesses? Where can people go to start crawling?
Well, you know, we definitely, you know, on GreenWallow, we definitely have a lot of great content about this stuff. In our video section, our most watched video is how to green your business. Hmm. Yeah, that's our number one most watched
video. Is it
really? Yeah, it is. It is. It's the most watched video. But outside of GreenWallow, you know, FlexYourPower.org is a great site. You know, believe it or not, one area the government has done pretty well is the EPA sites, the Department of Energy sites. All these different sites have all done a very good job of explaining to people what to go down. You mentioned Energy Star earlier. Energy Star's done a really good job. You know, a lot of local cities now have different ways, you know, where you can be greener. You can, you know, go out and, you know, they'll tell you where recycling stations are, et cetera, things like that. So it's just a matter of spending that, you know, with anything in life, right? If you're committed to it, if you take the 15 or 20 minutes, you search Google, do what you want to do, you'll go figure it out. And it's really easy to do. It's hard to say there's one exact site for everybody because there just isn't. Everybody's business is different. A manufacturing business is going to be different than, let's say, a consumer products packaging company is going to be different than, say, an accounting firm versus an architectural firm versus, you know, a car dealership. So everybody's business is completely, absolutely different. And there's not one cookie-cutter approach. But at the end of the day, if you peel back the onion enough, you'll see that there's basics that everybody can do. And that's what we focus on. That's what we go and talk to businesses about. And that, it doesn't matter if you're a car dealership, if you're an accountant, if you're an accounting office, if you're the packaged good company or your manufacturer. The basics are the same for everybody. But at the end of the day, the bigger changes that you have to make are going to be different.
Yeah, there's so many things that are happening already that people don't realize how all their individual small actions benefit. As consumers, I have a stat. When I was doing some research for the show today, I came across this, that there's 64 million tons of just, you know, stuff, material, that has gone out of landfills or being incinerated thanks to the recycling efforts. And composting, a combination, but mostly recycling. And that was just a couple of years ago. I think it's higher than that now. But that's a lot that people have prevented from going into landfill or polluting the air. So, I mean, if that's just, say, you know, potentially a lot of that's from the consumer side, what about businesses? I mean, they must have an enormous impact to the environment on what happens. Do you have any sense for that volume of, are there any stats out there to understand what businesses are doing?
Yeah, so if you look at businesses, right, everybody goes to a business or goes to an office or, you know, you think about universities as part of that, everybody at some level goes to some sort of office or business to work or go to school, right? So when you think about that, you know, most of our time is spent in those places, you know, with the exception of maybe a weekend. But even then, you've got malls and everything else. That's restaurants and all those things are still open. So when you add that all up, roughly 70% of the global impact comes from businesses. And so when you think about making big change, businesses have to lead the effort. They have to lead the effort. Government has to find a way to incent businesses to become greener, all those different types of things. If you look at what's going on in Europe, you know, France has gone completely nuclear in terms of renewable power. If you look at what's going on, parts of, you know, Germany, Japan, places like that, you know, everything is being recycled, everything is being offset, everything is being done that way. And still in the U.S., we're still laggards, you know, in that whole thing. But if you want, you know, I'll give you an example. One of the easiest ways, let's say you go to a business park, you know, and you go to these business parks, especially the older business parks, you ever driven around them? You know, one of the best ways for them to green their business is just to paint the roof white. You know, it cools the building down because it's not absorbing the sun, you know, et cetera, things like that. It cools it down. So you don't have to use your air conditioning as much, things like that. So one of the little simple tips like that, I mean, how much is a can of paint? You know, go spend a couple hundred bucks on a can of paint. And now somebody's going to say, well, what's the payback on that couple hundred bucks? I can't really measure that. I can't measure it down to that level of detail. I can tell you that it works. I can tell you that along with 10 other things will make a bigger impact. And so, you know, it's just how it is. And so, you know, businesses are the number one issue that needs to be addressed. Not necessarily the home, but it's the businesses and the number one issue that needs to be addressed.
Well, I'm really interested in that tip about painting the roof white. I'll have to look into that. It's a great one. You mentioned recycling a bit earlier, and I also found a stat about this one. that recycling just one aluminum can actually provide enough energy, you know, the what you're not doing, I guess, that would actually run a television set for 3 hours. I mean, I guess that's the production of a new can and, you know, having reused it instead of generating new energy. So, again, that's a consumer thing, but if a business – imagine if businesses took those small steps, how many hours of television sets could be run, or something even more positive than that.
Sure.
But it's those little things, painting your roof white, that reduces energy consumption and air conditioning and all that.
Yeah, so let's put that in context, right? So think about a business, right? Let's say the typical business has about 25 or 30 employees. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you each one of those employees, but let's just say a majority of those employees are probably going to drink a Coke a day.
Sure.
You know, or they're going to have a plastic, you know, they're going to have a thing of water in a plastic water bottle. You know, you think about how that is. At home, you're probably not going to have a Coke a day. Some will, but some won't. But if you did, that's only one. I mean, you know, maybe two. You know, so, you know, if you think about businesses, it's just all that's happening all the time. A lot of businesses just take that and they just throw it in the garbage. You know, they don't even put it in recycling bins because most businesses don't even have a little recycling station to do some of that stuff. You know, one of the best ways to green your business is to get rid of the sparkless bottle. Is to get rid of the get rid of the soda in the vending machines. You know, and let people, if they want to do it, kind of bring it in, because the other part of being green is living a healthier lifestyle. And
yes.
You know, and the reason why that is because if you think about when you get sick, the domino effect that has across our healthcare system with people, not only the energy that it takes to get people well again, but think about the lost productivity and all that other stuff that happens. And so,
it's staggering.
You know, it's huge. And so, you know, if you think about just, you know, in general, you know, fine, get rid of the sparkless bottle and put in a little water system. You know, for $400 or $500, you know, put in a little water system and a little water filter system, and then get rid of plastic bottles. Right away, you've taken a big step to be greener, and your employees will notice it. And you give them get them a little aluminum, you know, SIG bottle that's got your company logo on it. Now you've got a little thing people can fill up water whenever they want, and you know it's free. You don't have to spend money on the sparklet system. So the return on that is going to be how much money you're spending per month on sparklets. There, just put it towards your thing, and within probably 6 or 7 months, you have your ROI. So, you know, little impacts like that, Rick, in like you said, and you're very astute. Is look, if one can of soda is going to empower a TV for 3 hours. Imagine, you know, what 30 cans can do, and then plastic water bottles, recycling those can do. There's one company that we worked with that's taking plastic water bottles from the fill and the recycling them and turning them into kitchen utensils. And so there's so much great innovation starting to happen out there.
And I think that you don't have to look too far anymore, because not only is it more prevalent, but there's lots of great resources. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the common misnomers about businesses going green, because I think that can be off-putting to some people who are running businesses, and I think I'd just like to kind of nip those in the bud if we could. We are going to take a very quick break. Just hang on just a moment, and we'll be right back.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long nine.
Arr! Prepare to be boarded. Flagship starboard bound.
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. Many of folk don't know that when they throw their trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. So lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. And learn more what you can do to keep the ocean healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
You can save money and help the environment without taking a vow of poverty. How does that work? Well, by choosing Energy Star qualified lighting for your home. When you do, you'll become part of a growing national movement. Just go to energystar.gov and click on Take the Change of Light Pledge. It takes only a few short seconds for you to have a long-term impact. Brighten your environmental future. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Hi, I'm Drew Brees, NFL quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, here with Bugs Bunny to remind you to get moving every day.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back. We're speaking with Rajiv Kapoor from greenwala.com. He's my guest today, and we're talking about the tips to green your business. And before the break, we were talking with Rajiv about some of the little steps that businesses can take to make a difference. And I wanted to kind of dig into this idea about some of the misnomers, Rajiv, because these are the things that kind of prevent companies from making those decisions. And you talked about the crawl, walk, run approach to going green. What are some of those common misnomers that are out there?
Well, you know, the three biggest misnomers, and not in any particular order, are number one is that going green is really expensive. So changing what you're doing to go to somewhere else, to do something different, is just really expensive, number one. You know, number two is that who cares, even if we do it, we're not going to make much of a difference. And number three is, you know, my customers, my employees, you know, they just want a good working product. Or they just want to, you know, they don't care if the product's green or not. You know, there's a bad economy. They just want to be able to have a good product and move on with their life. So I think, you know, those are the three kind of basic misnomers. And you know, the second and third one are pretty intertwined. But it's really the first one that I think is the biggest one that's out there.
So when you do consulting for various businesses, do you have to kind of just knock those out at the very beginning, or do you find that they kind of go through? Do you have a little checklist in your mind? You just kind of wait for them to bring them up and then smile and say, "Okay, I have an answer to that one." How do you coach businesses as you counsel them?
Yeah, in some respects, yes. But you know what I find in this type of stuff is that you have to bring them along. You have to bring people along slowly. You know, if you just kind of walk in with, you know, gunslinging and shooting life, you know, left and right and pontificating, and, you know, you're going to lose them, and that's not the right thing you want to do either. And so you want to come in and you want to hear what, you know, just like anything, you know, Rick, you want to hear what the real issues are and what the real concerns and challenges are. And, you know, usually, you know, within the first meeting, you know, the goal is to get consensus that, look, if you're open to this, if you're going to keep an open mind, and if you want to really try to move forward and really kind of want to make a difference, we can make a difference. We can do it for less. You don't have to become LEED certified. You don't have to spend all the thousands of dollars it takes to become LEED. And, you know, you can still have virtually the same impact. And, you know, so, you know, that's pretty much done in the first meeting. And so it's really about being a partner, you know, but really than being more of a consultant. And so, you know, if you can show that, look, I'm here to help them better their business, that I'm here to help them with make sure that their P&L looks a lot better, that their employees are happier, that their customers are going to be happier with their product, that it's going to help them, you know, long-term from a public perception, but also from a revenue perspective, then it's pretty much a slam dunk, and they're all open to it. But if you kind of go in there like, well, this is what you're doing bad, this is what, you know, you got to do exactly what I say and my way or the highway, then it's game over and it won't work at all.
Mm, okay. At the onset of the show, I talked about the idea that there could be some tips and ideas for businesses on how they can become more green. And when we put the show together, I would like to provide maybe a list of top 10 ideas or something. And I'm going to put you on the spot to see if you have your top 10 list that you could provide, because I would like this show to really kind of, we can't possibly answer every question out there in an hour or so, but I do want people listening to hear this and say, hey, now let me just write these down, because I could go and start somewhere. This crawl, walk, run approach to going green and greening your business, it doesn't have to be as overwhelming as it may seem. So can I put you on the spot? Do you have any ideas or tips that you'd suggest?
Yeah, actually, I have about 20 or 30 of them, so I don't know if we quite have the time. But you know, the best way to start is to first identify and get it set up. You know, what is your goal? What do you really want to do with it, right? So once you figure out what your goal is, you know, what you want to achieve from there we can start. And what I suggest to people is to set up your Going Green effort into four zones. Outside, and outside, I mean, let's just take a typical business park example. Let's say it's a typical. Let's say it's a typical 50 to 75 employee office, business park, parking lot. They've got some plants outside, things like that, right? So you want to first set up, you know, that's kind of zone number one. What's the outside? And so believe it or not, there's a lot of things you can do there. The second piece is the internal operations in the supply chain. So that would be zone number two. And the third one is the employees. You know, what can we do there to work on building more of a winning culture? What can we do there to get employees involved in this effort? And the fourth zone is looking at our social responsibility message. What's our public perception? And what can we do to, how are we going to communicate? Now that we've done all these great things, know, what can we do to communicate what we've done and be a little bit more socially responsible within our community? So those are the four zones that you want to set up, and you want to start in that order. And so when it comes to, and when it comes to the outside area, there's so many little things that you can do. You have biking. You have parking for bikes. Easy thing, right? Encourage employees to think about being able to bike to work. You have a little shower for them to be able to go in, and after they do that, you know, look at solar. You know, solar is expensive, you know, and for a larger industrial building, it's going to be a lot more expensive. But the benefit there long-term is huge. And by the way, you're getting, there's a lot of grants being given right now for businesses to go to solar. So solar is a great thing to think about. Think about water being used to water all those plants outside. You know, how many times, Rick, have you driven around where it's raining and you still see, well, you're in Palm Springs, but, you know, but where it's raining, but you still see the sprinklers on, right?
Yeah.
So just little things like that from the outside. You know, there's one building, there's one company we work with. We told them to put in two spots for hybrid cars closer to the front, and encouraging employees to do that. And so believe me, if you get stuck in traffic and you want to get into work and you've got a meeting and you're going to be late, man, those guys that have that front spot, they just jump right into that and they take off. And the people love that idea, right? They love that. They loved it more than the heel. It's kind of like the same idea of the employee of the month parking spot, things like that.
Sure.
Those are some things just when you look at it from an outside perspective. But the biggest impact is really going to come from internal in the supply chain. Those are really the big things. And, you know, the supply chain one is probably another whole couple of hour discussion. So I'm going to try to skip that area just because that really puts the onus on your product development team and puts the onus on your suppliers to green what they're doing. So if your product goes direct to the consumer, it's the suppliers that are coming in to make that product. How green are they? So that's a whole different animal, and that's a whole different discussion, and that one can get a little bit deep, actually get very deep. So if you want to just look at internally, you know, a lot of different things you can do. You know, the first one is, you know, you can sit there and you can walk around, and the very first thing I always hear from employees and people and business owners is, man, it's hot. In my office is hot when it's really hot outside, the air conditioning doesn't work properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or when it's, you know, when it's really cold inside, you know, the heater's not working properly, or it's 95 degrees outside, but it's so cold inside that people are still wearing jackets and gloves type, right? I mean, we've all been in those types of offices. So somewhere there's a problem in your air conditioning and heating zones. You know, you need to get that fixed. You need to get that addressed right away because, you know, the waste right there is just immense and it's huge. Running those air conditioning systems to keep a typical 20,000 square foot industrial building going, or even a smaller 5,000-6,000 square foot office building or an office in a building going, granted that's all probably covered in your lease, but that's one way long-term to think about controlling costs and things of that nature, and not just controlling costs, but also, you know, why do you need to use it? You know, you just don't, you know. So motion sensors are a big one. So when you walk across and you go into buildings, how many times have you seen where offices' lights are left on, bathroom lights are left on, in boardrooms and conference rooms, lights are left on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you put in a motion sensor, what's the worst thing that can happen? People are sitting quiet. 5 minutes into it, the light goes off. It'll move your hand, you know, pick up a piece of paper, and it'll go back on. But, you know, and if you think about, you know, how many times have we driven around, you know, cities and towns where it's, you know, it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and their lights all over the building are on? Well, because employees forget to turn the lights off. And so one of the simplest things people can do is assign a little energy monitor. And I remember we did this for one company, and they saw an electric their electric bill reduced by about a third by just making sure that when you left at night, if you're the last one out, turn off the lights, right?
Yep,
so the last one just does a quick, turns off the light, and then goes and gets the makes sure that the copy system and every copier on sleep mode and all those other types of things. So you know, those are some basic, simple things that you can do. You know, other things are recycling stations. We talked about that earlier. If you need to have a lot of lighting in your office, look at LED lights. LED lights are a little expensive. But, you know, you're talking about stuff that would have – you're talking about a longer-term ROI, longer-term, you know, type of solution. And even if you don't go down the path of LED lights, those CFL bulbs that are in the ceiling, you know, take one or two of them out. You know, not all three need to be lit up at any given time, right? Take one or two out. Or, you know, look at natural light. You know, there's a lot of businesses where they want to keep the drapes and blinds closed all the time. You know, they have natural light. Not only does it help light up the office, you don't need as much light in the office, but people feel good when they can look outside, they can see some natural light. We talked about a water filter system. We talked about recycling cans. We talked to, let's see, what else is there? You know, there's eco packaging.
Mm-hmm.
you know, looking at packaging, you know, getting rid of peanuts and things like that, where that are hard to recycle and things like that, are other great things to do. One of the biggest things, the last biggest thing that's there is, especially from an IT perspective, is really look at moving into cloud computing. And, you know, for some people that's a new concept, but, you know, if you can reduce the use of your own internal homegrown data center, and now you can go out and use external resources at Google, Amazon, other places, you know, you're using already existing equipment, and you're reducing that energy draw, because you have to keep those data centers cool all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to keep that equipment cool because they're just pulling so much power. So looking at the cloud is another big thing. So I've got a laundry list of other things that you can do, but those are some simple, basic things that you can just get started. So those are easy things to do, and those anybody can do. Go walk around your office, and within 5 minutes, you'll come up with a list of different basic things that you can do. Paperless billing, thanks now, you know, looking at recycled paper, all those types of things are huge opportunities. You know, taking existing paper that you maybe wrote some notes on, or maybe the old PowerPoint presentations, instead of throwing them in the trash, you know, turn them over and have that become the note paper.
You know, it's interesting because when it's a little off topic here, but I remember as a kid, or just way back, you know, when way before any of this was even on the radar of the average consumer, there were people who would just out of frugality would use things like the backside of paper, I remember as a kid, the nuns in school would reuse everything, wrapping paper. Everything was used, you know, for multiple purposes, and it used to be one of those things you'd chuckle about and think, gee, you know, that's awfully strange. Now you look at that and think, that, you know, that's not so bad. That's actually a pretty good idea. First of all, the cost. You can get more use out of something, and secondly, you're not consuming more than you need to, or than that you should. So I,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of a things come full circle, I think, at times.
Well, I think for a while there, people thought using the back side of a piece of paper was like listening to the B side of a record, right? You know, it was like, you know, why do you want to do that? And so I think nowadays people are going, well, I guess the back side of the paper is just as good as the front side. So
yeah.
Which is really bizarre.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned something that stimulated an idea in my head about walking around an office and finding a list of things you could easily do. The other thing that I had the opportunity in an office environment once was we put a challenge out to the employees, to people who worked in the office, and it was one of those. It wasn't even a contest, and it wasn't something where there was a financial incentive, although that is one other way. But you can go around and just say, hey, does anyone have any ideas? What do you think we should be doing? What amazed me when we did that was the number of people and the number of ideas that came forward. And you just wondered, well, why has everyone been so silent all this time? If you don't – so the lesson here is, as business leaders, managers, owners, whatever position you may be in, if you don't set the expectation or communicate the – make it important, in other words – then lots of times people, they may just sort of think, well, I guess it's not important, so I won't do it, or I won't worry about it because the boss isn't worrying about it. So you may not have a huge pool of people. You may not have a huge budget. You may not have a lot of maybe these are tough financial times for your company. So you're thinking, I don't have time for that or the money to spend. Well, actually, the opposite can happen. You can challenge your employees and say, if you have some ideas, bring them forward. And we found there were money-saving opportunities, and we were doing some greening of the business. That's
you
an
know,
easy one.
Yeah, Rick, you know, the third zone I talked about was employees. And
yeah.
So that's exactly right. And, you know, what I try to tell people, we're all very familiar with just ask, don't tell, but this one is just ask and tell, right? We really want, you know, just ask the employees. The employees are the ones who are on the ground. The employees are the ones who are dealing with the suppliers. The employees are the ones who are dealing with customers. The employees are the ones who are, you know, working day-to-day on the front lines and dealing with all the minutiae. They're the ones who see the waste. They're the ones who see the issues more than anybody else. So, you know, get them involved. And the more involved they get, you're going to find nuggets out there. I remember one time at Dell, you know, back when we were in Asia, we did this, you know, we had a whole BPI process, business process improvement system set up. And one of my secretaries did a study on paper, on using just turning paper over and using the backside of paper. You know, and we would save over, you know, a third of our costs just in paper consumption back. And this was back in 2003. You know, so you know, it's just, you know, asking employees to do stuff is just, you know, number one, they're excited to do it because it takes them a little bit out of their daily grind. I think it allows them to think a little bit more. I mean, Google's the best example of that, where 20% of all employees can do whatever the heck they want. Now, not everybody's at Google, but the point is that, you know, let employees spread their wings a little bit. And I think you'll be surprised, not just from a this is what we can do to be more efficient perspective, but you'll see which ones are smarter, you'll see which ones are more passionate about the business, you'll see which ones have the opportunity for growth, and but you'll also see they'll also come up with great ideas to help you with revenue growth ideas too. You know, maybe the idea may not be as quote unquote necessarily as green as maybe once the analysis is all done, but maybe a certain change in step or a change in idea could potentially lead to a new product design, could lead to some new revenue, can lead to some new things where now you're, you know, maybe potentially hiring people again, doing some other things. So, you know, at the end of the day, the green movement is not about reducing jobs. It's about getting jobs. It's about educating people. It's about helping people grow. It's about helping people grow in what we think is a more, you know, economical and hopefully good way. You know, that's really what it's all about. And so, you know, so the more you involve the employees, whether it's contests or whatever, like you said, the better off your organization is going to be.
At the beginning of the show, I was talking about how consumers today they're more aware about green issues and so forth, and they're doing it in their own lives. And that there's a fair number of people who are actually choosing where and how to spend their money as consumers, with businesses who have values that align to their own, or at least companies that have some sort of outward focus on sustainability and green actions. So that being said, if you're a business owner, a business person, and you want to kind of get the message out to, you know, this, you don't have to be a retail or consumer-driven company, but maybe it's for some other reason, but you want to get the message out that you're doing something, how do you do that without the risk of greenwashing to make it look like you're doing more than you are, or maybe you're not 100% ready, but you want to say something, but you're not quite feeling as though you're 100% there? What should businesses do?
Well, the first thing first thing people have to do, Rick, is they have to have a plan. They have to have a vision for what they want to do, period, end of story. If they don't have a plan, then they should not say a word to anybody. They can't come out and say, well, we're a green company now just because we've recycled our cans. That doesn't work that way. There's a large product company out there that's got 1,500 different products. One of their products is green, and they've said now they're a green company. So they got nailed for that. And so it's not right. I mean, look at Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's was saying that all-natural ice cream. Well, it's not. And so they got nailed for that. So now they have to take all-natural off all of their ice creams. But what I find mostly, 99% of the businesses don't have a vision and a plan. And that's where they get in trouble. They want to do it. In fact, I'll give you an example. I helped a organization about 2 years ago, and I came in a little bit after the fact. They were really excited as a clothing manufacturer. They were getting ready to, well, they did. They got 10% of their of the product going into their jeans. They make jeans. 10% of the cotton being used, they decided to make organic cotton. Well, okay. To do that for them was huge. And, you know, and nobody saw internally, you know, sorry, nobody externally saw the impact that was to their business. They had to change the supply chain. They had to get new lines kind of set up and going, et cetera, all that stuff, right? So it was a pretty good cost to them to get this all going. They were really excited. They had advertising and marketing all ready to go, and they started shipping, and they got the advertising out there, but right away it was a complete and utter disaster. And the reason why it was a complete and utter disaster, it wasn't because it was 10% organic cotton. It was because they never told anybody what their plan was to get it to 50%, 70%, 90%, 100%. They never told anybody. They just thought 10% was great and now we're done. You can't be done, because the first question out of people's mouth from the journalism world, from the blogging world, well, if you're 10%, if you do 10%, why couldn't you do 30%? Why couldn't you do 50%? Sure. So they just didn't have a plan. And it's okay to be asked that question if you have a good response. Because the blogging world, the journalism world is going to say, okay, Mr. Product Manufacturer, great job on the 10. We see you've got this plan. By 2011 or 2012, you're going to be at 60%. That's great. You know, but here are some ideas, and here are some ways that you can do a little bit better, et cetera, things like that. And that's what's going to happen. And they just didn't say anything, and they got pretty discouraged by that. So we kind of came in and did a little post-mortem thing And what we found, their biggest lack, the biggest fallacy was they just didn't communicate what their vision was, number one. So you have to have a vision, you have to have a plan, and you have to be able to execute against that, and you have to tell people what that is. Put it on your website. Have a little sustainability link on your website or whatever you want to call it, maybe a social responsibility link or a CSR link, and let people go there. Let people see what you've done, where you plan on going, what your goals are, you know, what you hope to accomplish within the next, say in the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Now, when it gets outside of 5 years, you know, people, everybody in the world will say, okay, well, just do what you can over the next 3 to 5 years, and we'll talk about 10 years later. So just having that vision is always good, you know, is always great to have. You know, car manufacturers have to talk about 10, 15, 20 years out because they're already working on the next generation cars that are going to be coming out in 3 or 5 years. So it's okay for them to talk about future stuff. And I'll give you an example. I went to had an opportunity to go visit the guys at Fisker Automotive. They're coming out with the first plug-in electric hybrid vehicle. It's a beautiful car. It's amazing. It's by Henrik Fisker, who designed the Aston Martins that put James Bond back. He put James Bond back in Aston Martins when the new series started, and it's fantastic. He designed the BMW Z8. And I was talking to him, and he said, you know, they take sustainability so seriously. You know, they're in Irvine, you know, and what they did was they had to do wood paneling in the cars. Well, they went and got wood from the California forest fires and refinished that wood to put it in the car. So that's huge. And guess what? It's free. It didn't cost them a dime. I mean, it was free. Yeah. They just go pick up the wood, put it on trucks, and they're done. You know? And somebody asked the question, well, are you afraid of not having enough of that wood? He goes, well, this is California. We're going to have some every year, right?
Yeah.
And so where it is, they can get it for free. Another example, and I think you're going to love this, you'll love this probably more than anybody, is the fact that their leather is completely animal-free.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and so you know, that type of stuff business can do, and they're conveying that message, and they have a plan, they're telling people, and so it's amazing. But, you know, to start to get the message out, you need something on your own internal website. You need a little social responsible section on your website. We help with that. You know, you need to have, you know, you don't have to do a big PR push. You can have one press release. You can go to free PR. You can go to PR Web or do a free press release type of thing. Get the message out there a little bit. But most importantly, educate your employees. You know, look at the local media. So here in Orange County, whether it's the Orange County Register or the, you know, Newport Pilot, et cetera, Irvine News, those types of things. Just get the message out slowly and in a way where you're comfortable in telling people what you're doing now and what you plan to be doing in the future and what your goals and your milestones are. And then use things like Twitter and Facebook. You know, I cannot tell you the power of those two vehicles are huge. Mm. To tell people what you've done and then talk about your milestones, talk about your successes, talk about your wins. You know, turn your employees into advocates for your brand, for your company. If somebody comes and says, well, we don't believe in this, we think you're wrong with this, listen to it. Don't shy away from it. You know, remember there was one company that I worked with where, you know, they were getting hammered by this one particular blogger. And finally I said, look, talk to the blogger, invite them to your office.
Yeah.
Have them come in, have them, you know, meet with the CEO, meet with what's going on, show them what you've done. Show them what your plans are and show them that it's not just window dressing. And, you know, if at that point you feel like you've educated them and they still don't want to do it, then they just have a vendetta. Then it's personal. But if they understand it and if they're a blogger who's worth anything in their weight and salt, then they're going to get it and they're going to understand and they're going to be a lot more appreciative of what you've just shared with them. And now they know both sides of the story and they can be a bit more objective. And so we encourage people to do that. And so if you use things like Twitter, use things like Facebook, you have your own fan page, you know, use places like Greenwalla where we have groups and other things and we do a lot of campaigns, et cetera, things like that, then you'll slowly get your message out there and it'll be done in a nice viral guerrilla manner where it'll build up and people, if they want to see what you've done, they want to see your story, they can go right to you, right to your website, they can see it and you're good to go. Another great place for business to get the message out what they're doing is LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is a phenomenal tool to talk about your business and talk about what you've done. And, you know, in your own little executive summary, it's a great thing to talk about, hey, that you've greened your offices and that, you know, these are some of the things you've done. And it looks good. And, you know, people like that. People are always looking for those types of people to help them out. And, you know, whether you're part of an organization like YPO or a TAI or Rotaries or Toastmasters, all those different types of things, if you tell people that, look, this is what you've done to green your businesses, they're going to want to learn from you more.
Sure.
You know, you're gonna become the guy at the party who everybody talks to, who thinks of the doctor or the guy that can prepare the computer. People are gonna talk to you about how to green the business. And look, I'm not trained in this, Rick. I'm just a guy who decided I wanted to try to make a difference, and I've had to learn all this myself. And you know, these are all the right things to do. These are all simple actions you can do, and it's all about the communication. The communication is absolutely huge. And not only is it huge from a business perspective, but it's also huge from a social responsibility message. At the end of the day, employees are going to be happy. Prospective employees are going to be excited about working for a company that cares so much. You know, suppliers, if you can really impact the supply chain, they all want to be part of this. It's a win-win. It's a win-win for everybody, the customers, the employees, the managers, you name it. It's a win-win.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's really symbiotic. And there are consumers out there who are searching for companies doing this. If we've just talked about how businesses can communicate, making a plan and how they would share that, how do consumers go and find green companies to make their choices on where they can spend money? I mean, where should a consumer go to look to find those companies whose values align with their own?
Well, in the future, I will tell you that Green Wall is a place where we're going to be doing our best to provide a lot of that information. Early part of Q1, we're going to be launching a green directory.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses will be able to list who they are. Think of it as a little bit like a Yelp type of a listing,
yeah.
But more focused on the green businesses. So the beauty of that is, you know, it's hard for us to go and verify all the information, which is really hard because we just can't do it. But instead, since it's a community-based tool, so community members will be able to go and say, yeah, you know what, we love what this company's doing. They've done all these great things to be green. Or, you know what, this one hasn't done a great job here, so I don't necessarily know if that's all that green or do better by doing this. So it's all going to be coming kind of a community base where we want the community to police the entries. Obviously, we know that if somebody enters a Hummer dealership, obviously, you know that we know the answer to that one. But just in general, you know, the goal here is that there will be businesses there and it will be all categorized. There are a couple of other nice green directories out there that exist, but I would say that if you want to just go out there and find absolute green business and green product, goodguide.com is a great resource to check out. It's awesome. But hopefully, in Q1 also we'll be selling product and where people will be able to come to Green Walla and sell your products directly on our platform. And we call that relationship based commerce as opposed to e-commerce. So all that will be there, and that's kind of community. That's also kind of think of it as an eBay type solution, but there's no bidding,
sure.
And so we'll have that kind of going on. But one of the best resources I found, just in terms of product, if you want to just go and find, hey, I want to see if this shampoo is what type of chemicals using, things like that, or whatever it might be.
Sure.
Goodguide.com, they've done a really good job of putting that all together, and so that's one of my favorite places to look at.
Well, we have just about another minute left in the show, but really quickly, are there any, just in 30 seconds or so, any resources for businesses to learn more? If you wanted to direct someone who's listening today, where should they go?
Well, on Greenwell, like I mentioned, our number one most watched video, if you go to the video section and you search in there, you'll find that there's a really great video on what to do to how to green your business. At the end of the day, there's a great site called Green Biz, B-I-Z, greenbiz.com is a great site. It talks about how to green your business, but more importantly, it also talks about just what other businesses are doing, from Fortune 50 companies down to Fortune 5,000 companies. It just talks about in general what's happening over in the green movement. If let's say you're not much into that type of stuff, even if you come to Green Walla, there's a Q&A section. You can ask questions about whatever you want to do. You can create a group on there and invite people to your group. You can ask around. You can ask the editors who are writing in those channels, in our specific channels, what they recommend, things like that. No, people respond to you, and people will find a way to help you out and things like that. And if anybody has any questions and they want to contact me, they're more than welcome to contact me as well. And I can give them my email address, and they're more than welcome to send me an email. So would that be okay? You want me to give them my email address?
Fantastic. Go ahead. We're just about out of time, but go ahead real quick.
So it's rk at greenwalla, and walla is walla.com. And for those who are interested in knowing, walla means person in India. So the literal translation is green person.
Green person. Well, that would be you. You are the green person. Rajiv, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you.
Very informative and instructive. And I think for anyone listening, the key message today about greening your business is you can do it. Lots of resources out there, crawl, walk, and then run. Those are probably the biggest thing I learned from Rajiv today. Go to greenwalla.com and sign up, learn more about how to use the website. It is very, very interesting. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. I'm Rick Rockhill. You've been listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Join us next week again for another exciting show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio.